So let's move on now and talk about prostate cancer. And again, just to start out in terms of our survey, so we asked people whether they're doing MSI testing and metastatic prostate cancer, and they go, yes. So it is definitely reach practice. Most of them do it at first diagnosis, but quite a few wait, which, you know, you can understand, particularly some of them wait for castrate-resistant disease. But in any event, they are testing. Then we ask them the last patient in your practice with MSI-high disease that you treated. Did they get a PD-1 antibody? Most of them say yes. Generally, this is third or fourth line therapy. And yet, in spite of that, 12 out of 17 of the patients responded. Another question we asked them was whether, in general, they're doing multiplex genomic testing in patients with metastatic disease. And it looks like about 75% are. Again, a little bit of a spectrum about when, but most of them, the majority of them are testing. We asked them about the last patient where they did a tissue-based multiplex genomic assay. The majority of the patients did not have it affect their treatment decision, but on the other hand, you know, maybe a quarter of them did. So it's not a small number. And interestingly, most of the findings that they felt were going to affect their treatment were related to BRCA. We asked them whether or not they responded. And again, we can look at this later in terms of what it was. And most of them responded. But more, I think more importantly, the blood-based assay, I think even a lower number that they felt were productive. Again, a couple of BRCA patients, a couple of people responding. We asked them whether or not they do germline BRCA testing in patients with metastatic prostate cancer. A pretty basic question that when we ask at our meetings, I would say the vast majority of people say yes. But now we're going out to a random sample, and interestingly, there's not a small number who say no, which is interesting. So there's a spectrum of, I guess, people being aware of the potential issues of PARP inhibitors. We asked them about the last patient in their practice with metastatic prostate cancer who had a BRCA mutation that was treated, and as you can imagine, most of that was PARP inhibitors. It was generally third or fourth line therapy. And interestingly, getting back to our discussion before about the MSI, 25 out of 29 people from the point of view of the oncologist responded. Now, again, that might not be a RECIST response. It might be a clinical response, but from their point of view, it was a response. But you'd be interested in this, Emmanuel, ARV7 testing. We can talk about where that is today. But we asked them whether or not they're generally utilizing it, and about a third of them are. And for the ones who are, they've used it, looks like, quite a bit, you know, 8 times in the last couple of years. And we asked them a little bit about how it affected what they did, and we'll talk a little bit more about where that is and where it's heading. So the final thing we asked them, as we did for all three of these situations, was it was the last patient with prostate cancer who died in their practice. The median age is higher than it was for colorectal cancer, so 78. At least in this group, the median survival was greater also, so more than 3 years. And half of these patients had multiplex genomic testing as part of their care. We asked whether it affected treatment, and for the majority of them, it did not affect their therapy. So I guess before we start getting into the data, I'm just kind of curious, Emmanuel, anything about these data that jumped out to you?
I think it was kind of as expected. The BRCA mutations and the MSI were the two most actionable things.
Anyone else have any thoughts or comments about what we just saw there in prostate? Andy, any thoughts?
Well, I was just curious, the germline BRCA testing, is that what you would expect that in, because it says here that the most patients got it when they were discovered to have castration-resistant disease. That's when they went and confirmed that. Is that what you would expect there?
The current NCCN guidelines and for the past 2 years have recommended that every patient with metastatic disease, whether it's hormone-sensitive or castration-resistant, should undergo germline testing because there's a 12% chance of having a positive germline HR mutation, not just BRCA2, but BRCA2 plus 10 other genes. So yes, I was a bit surprised. It seemed low.
Well, I guess you could say, are you testing for the patient or the family? If it's the patient, I mean, sure, they could go in a clinical trial, but they typically wouldn't get a PARP inhibitor, I don't think, even if they're BRCA germline, as first-line therapy. What do you think?
It wouldn't be first-line. It would have to be off-label because we don't have any PARP inhibitors right now for prostate cancer, which are FDA-approved.
But also, I mean, just putting aside the issue of FDA approval, I mean, even if you did have it approved, I don't think you would use it before you use androgen deprivation, would you?
You would not, no.
So you could make the argument for practical purposes, it doesn't matter. But with that high, though, of germline BRCA, and you have the family to think about. It might be a couple years, and family member could develop a cancer and die of it. I remember I was talking to you, I think I was interviewing you once, and you were saying something about it shouldn't be called BRCA, it should be called PRACA, you know, prostate.
It's just as prevalent in prostate cancer as it is in breast, but it was discovered in breast cancer first, so it just happened to be called BRCA instead of PRCA.